Report conference call. I'm Rachel Schwatkin, and I'll be your moderator. Today's commentary is provided by Wayne Palmer and Brian Voth of AgriTrend. Thank you, gentlemen, for taking time out of your busy schedules to provide the commentary. I would like to remind you, opinions expressed in today's commentary are those of the commentator and not MGX. Nothing should be construed as a trading recommendation by MGX, its employees, or its members, and is the sole opinion of the commentator. After the commentary is complete, I'll ask for questions from the media representative. I'd also like to ask everyone on the call to please use the mute feature on your phone to not disrupt the commentary with background noise. With that, I will turn it over to Wayne and Brian.
Hi, this is Brian Voth here. I guess the one way to sum up this report is there's a whole lot more grain around than there was last year at this time, which I don't think comes as a surprise to anybody. The total wheat stocks number at 28.3 million tons was actually, I think, a little bit lower than what the trade had been anticipating. But combination of high yields last year and very poor movement this year is just contributing to a lot more stocks around on farm and commercially too, I would say. And that kind of goes the same for all the crops. The one exception is soybeans, actually, where the stocks are only up to 2.6 million tons, which is only about a 2.5% increase over last year. And I would attribute that to the high demand on soybeans and the poorer than anticipated crop in the U.S. And there's a lot of soybeans from Manitoba and Ontario as well that have moved into the U.S. system. So actually the stocks and soybeans are not substantially different than they were last year at this time. Oat stocks up quite a bit, again, due to high yields at 2.8 million tons. And corn, same thing, 11.5 million tons. There's a lot of corn unsold on farms right now. And again, high yields there as well. Wayne, you want to talk about canola?
Yeah, canola, we've got the same situation on canola and flax. Canola, this is a record amount of grain that is still in the system as of December 31st. In 2012, the number, and this is in thousands of tons, was 8.1. We now have 12.6. That's up 55.3%. Two big reasons for it. The first reason is Canada is experiencing a transportation debacle. We cannot get grain from the country to the port in a timely fashion. We are so far behind, we will not catch up most likely till the end of this year, which is very disconcerting to the producers because they can't move their grain for 2013. What's going to happen with their 2014 crop? The other reason is that, in our opinion, is that producers got married to high prices. They were cash rich. They did not forward sell. And then when prices started to plummet because of the transportation issues, they were waiting for another rally. And, of course, we haven't had a rally. The trend has been all the way to lower prices, and we're mired in these lower prices. And it sure didn't help when you have the American futures prices in wheat especially declining. And like Brian was saying, we have a tremendous amount. The wheat is the one that everybody seems to be under the eight ball for sure. Canola, because of the transportation issues, we have got a great demand for the end user for canola presently. But the line companies and elevator companies cannot make any forward sales for fear of default because they're trying to get sales completed that are probably, some of them, 10 weeks behind here with vessels waiting. So they're defaulting on past contracts, so they cannot afford to take a chance on that rail movement will get any better in probably the next maybe 6 to 12 months. So we have got a mess of grain here, the problems in the country. I would think that you're going to see producers switch their thoughts on growing wheat to more probably things like either oats, flax, canola, and special crops. because right now, if you do the margins on wheat, it just doesn't add up as far as being able to make any money growing wheat, especially with huge, huge stocks that are still sitting out there wanting to be moved out of the country. In the canola market, we still the same sort of situation. The canola bean spread has widened out to almost historical levels, and the canola market has no place to go because of the same situation. You can't sell something into a forward position if you're afraid that you may have to default and not be able to get the grain shipped in a timely fashion. And because of the rail car, and it's not even a rail car shortage, it's basically, it's just a matter of the railways shipping other products and agriculture getting their share of rail cars. But because of the record crop we had in 2013 and everybody having historical yields, meaning we just had a massive amount of canola produced last year, and all the grain companies sold and probably oversold the port capacity, and the railways just can't meet up with the demand that we had on the books for forward sales. We're just it's a mess that right now we need a miracle to straighten it out, and nobody knows how to straighten it out. And time is your only saving grace. And unfortunately, the producer is the one who is being penalized for this whole thing, because the basis levels are very, very wide. And like I keep on saying, is that you can't, as far as the exporters and the elevator companies, you cannot forward sell anything that you're afraid that you're going to default on the contract. And these numbers that we have are not coming out as a surprise. All the merchants realize that we've got a big problem in Canada, and we've got huge, huge grain left over from a massive, historically large crop. And unless you have something to add to that, Brian, maybe we can field some questions.
Well, I just was going to add, you know, I don't know how this report factors in. There's a lot of grain moving south into the U.S. this year, particularly anywhere, you know, I would say within 60 to 80 miles north of the border. And that includes a lot of wheat, too, which we've never really done before. So I don't know how this report, if that factors that into there or not, but like I said, I just know there's a lot of wheat right now moving into, you know, like out of southern Manitoba, moving into North Dakota. There's a lot of producer cars of wheat that are being shipped down into different locations in the U.S. as well. I know we've shipped stuff over to New York, and we've shipped stuff over to the West Coast in the U.S. So there's a lot of grain moving in that sense, which we've kind of been able to bypass the transportation issues a little bit. The other thing that you're starting to see is that it's very backwards, but there's a lot of canola moving from, I would say, southern areas in Canada going down to either the crush plant in Washington or this crush plant in Minnesota as well. Again, it's backwards, but the way the basis levels are in Canada, it's much more economical for farmers to be shipping grain south this year. So that has alleviated at least a little bit of the problem for anyone that's in a logistical advantage distance of the border, at least.
Yeah, I just would like to add to Brian's comments is that most likely any of these commodities that have a futures market attached to it will not be affected. What will be affected is cash prices. And as long as we have this amount of grain hanging over our heads with it, these transportation issues within Canada itself, base levels will probably not improve for a while.
Ken, did you have a question?
Good. Thank you. A couple of guys I was talking to the other day said they're looking at the possibility of not being able to get cash flow because of the delay in shipping and are concerned about how they're going to get planting done. Have you heard anything along that line?
We've been hearing the same story. I know there's been some renegotiating going on with banks and lenders for exactly that reason. What I've been hearing, at least, is that I think in a lot of these cases, these lenders understand that it's not necessarily the farm's fault that they can't get their cash flow in, especially if they'd had stuff booked and they just haven't taken it. So I think there's lines of credit and operating loans being extended. You know, how long they're willing to do that, I don't really know. But so far, at least, I haven't heard of it being a really sticky issue in terms of not extending the line of credit or anything like that yet.
Mike, do you have a question?
I don't know if you guys have an answer, but for the guys that are bringing some of that grain south into North Dakota, any insight on what the price they're getting? Are they happy, or are they just happy to get a market for it?
I can answer that one. I would think that they're happy, and there's a market for it, and it's a different avenue. The biggest problem is, though, it's especially to the Halleck, Minnesota crusher. It's a small crushing plant, and obviously, if you're in the neighborhood, you're doing very, very well. But it's a small little area that you can actually draw on. Those producers are very lucky that plant is there. Same thing with the Washington plant. But having said that, Canada is a huge country, just as the U.S. is. And what about those other producers that are in remote areas where they've got no place to go with their grain? We've got areas in Canada that the basis level goes from about 15 under in for canola to 80 under.
Mike, I'll address your question a little bit too on the wheat side, which I've been hearing rumbling that going forward that U.S. elevators are going to have, are going to have two prices, one for American farmers and one for Canadian farmers. I haven't seen that yet, and the stuff that we've been shipping down right now, we're getting the exact same price that the U.S. farmers are. What works to our benefit now is the fact that our dollar's down at 90 cents. And so the price that we're getting when you convert it over is roughly in the neighborhood of $1.75 to $2 a bushel higher than what our elevator prices would be in Canada right now. Plus, we're getting the movement, which we wanted to sell grain today into North Dakota. We'll move it in the next month. If we wanted to sell grain today in Canada, we know it won't go before probably July. So the pricing is very, very competitive. You know, we're probably into that $6.60 a bushel Canadian range right now. And when you factor in how high the yields were, that is still very profitable for us.
Do you have a follow-up question, Mike?
Yeah, I was just wondering, I think, I would guess everybody knows the problem. Is anybody blaming the lack of the Canadian Wheat Board on this this transportation problem?
I think the
good question.
The very hardcore Wheat Board supporters are saying that, but the Wheat Board didn't run the rail system either, is the reality of it. Biggest thing is just we've never had such a big crop overall like this before. There's just so much grain around. Like, the yields were abnormally high on every crop. And it wasn't just a pocket either. It was all of Western Canada.
Thank you.
But, Mike, just to further that is that, of course, when prices go down and you have, we're still sort of trying to figure this free enterprise and non-wheat board situation out, you're going to have the naysayers jump to the forefront and clamor and say, what happens if the Canadian Wheat Board was still here? But in reality, and it's just because we had a perfect storm on a down market, in reality, if this record crop, transportation issue, whatever, wasn't occurring, for the most part, the Canadian farmer is very happy that we do not have the Canadian Wheat Board marketing their grain.
Any other questions, Mike?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Calvin, do you have any questions?
Sure. Just wondering if you guys are hearing anything about canola crushers not taking canola because they don't have cars to move out oil and meal.
Not really. They're in the same sort of situation as the other exporters and line companies, but for the most part, a lot of the crushers have got their own access to their rail cars. So I know that the, and Brian lives very close to a Canadian crusher in the southern part of the of Canada, but the crushers are not crushing to capacity, but because they can truck the grain in a lot easier, and if they need to, they can narrow the basis levels because they have access to a lot more grain in a bigger area. I think it's more the idea is that you can't get the grain to the facility, but if you can crush it, you can get it to the end user.
Okay. So why are they not?
Go
ahead, Brian.
Sorry, go. I did hear a rumor last week that someone said that was happening and that the crush plant here had shut down. Well, I'm close enough. I went and looked outside, and it was still running. I can see that out my window. So I haven't actually seen evidence of anybody shutting down due to lack of getting, oil cars out. But like I said, I have heard rumors about that, but I haven't seen any evidence of it yet.
Okay. So why are they not crushing to capacity?
Because they can't buy enough grain. The prices are so terrible. Producers, they're waiting for better prices. I believe that the producers sold a lot of grain on the way down here. Their threshold was such that they held on. Producers were cash rich, but as prices kept on going lower and lower, they finally bailed. And I think producers got enough cash in canola to last them probably to the early part of spring. They've got their targets in. If we don't have a rally before the early part of spring, you're probably going to see a massive amount of farmers selling again to knock this market down further. But right now, on the futures market, it isn't farmer selling that is taking us lower. It's basically just the lack of interest.
The other thing is that the margins that they're making, they're probably making as much or more money this year, crushing less, just because of the margins per ton this year relative to last year.
Crush margins are fantastic, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you all for your questions, and thank you to Wayne and Brian for providing today's commentary. Audio of this call will be available on our website later this morning.